Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of From Dude to Dad. I'm Chris Pagula.
And I'm Brian Laurel.
And we are here today to talk to those dads that are actually about to enter the teenager about to drive episode. That is a scary moment. And I got to say, I've been through it now three times over. And I was just sharing my stories with Brian. And Brian, you got a while before you're going to be hitting this topic, huh?
I do. My oldest is five. So I've got a ways.
Self-driving cars will actually have taken over by then.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it's funny. It's interesting. I have actually read articles that said by the year 2030, there's a certain percentage of kids now that will never have driver's licenses. Like they won't need to. And then it projected by the year like 2040. And then by the year 2050, they were saying like there's a possibility that only like a third of the country will have driver's licenses and actually drive.
Okay. Now think about that. What is our government doing in regards to all that money that they're going to lose out because driver's licenses cost money and, you know, like
license plate, your title,
registrations and stuff, you know? And it's interesting because you think about, is that how the future looks from watching movies like Tron, where all of a sudden they like are going, was it Tron or what? I forget what movie it is. They go right into traffic and it's like, the car's driving itself. And it's just like, but I have to say my oldest has a Tesla and you press the gas, like floor it, and it literally takes off like you're at a ride at Disneyland. It's insane. That's and then right. You let go of the gas and then it just goes and it just like slows down on its own.
Wow.
And it's weird. It's a trip.
So I'm about 10, 11 years away from needing to deal with that. But you, sir, you have three kids that have been through this already. So let's talk about this.
It's not fair that as the parent, you're supposed to teach your child how to drive, yet there's no apparatus to put in your car to protect yourself like your student driver that you hire to teach your child how to drive has, with the brake and the actual steering wheel and gas on their side.
Right.
Let me tell you, many times have I been close to like getting my side rear-ended or like smashed into, or like how many times I've had my hands put up being like, what? You know,
do you have like the fake brake where you feel like foot going down? Like when they're, you know, it's time to brake and you're pressing your foot against the floor on the passenger side.
You know, dude, it's funny. When I was about to get married, one of my groomsmen had told me a story about having been in a wedding of another friend's. And he's like, the funniest story is the guy was so nervous who was getting married. They were backing out of the, driveway and he's in the back and he's like car like freaking out, and the car was literally like down the block about to come, you know. And so it's kind of like, it's me now. I'm telling that story as the parent sitting in the car teaching my son to drive, and I'm like car, and it's like down the block. Oh man.
So when I learned to drive, I was the old school. I mean, I had a class that I took at school, and then I had this battle axe woman that showed up in this beat up Datsun with the magnet on the side that was like whatever, AAA driving right. school, yeah. student driver all over it. So people were staring, and it was, you know, she took me around the neighborhoods, and then we went to a church parking lot, and I was practicing the parallel parking, and then we eventually worked our way up to driving on the freeway. And I think I had like three sessions with her, and then that was all I needed to do. And I've talked to other friends of mine that have kids, and they're like, No, we didn't do that. I just took him out in the car and just kind of taught him myself. So that's what you did?
Well, it is what I did, but it's scary because you're taking the child into like the real world, into real traffic.
Yeah, there's no practice neighborhood. There is not. Through a practice freeway.
No, and it's like, it's funny because when you're telling your story about how you got your license, as a kid, I grew up in the country. So my dad didn't teach me how to drive. I learned, you know, I was driving tractors and like, you know, clutches.
Here are the keys, Chris, just go.
Yeehaw. So at such a young age. So as soon as I got my license, actually, which by the way, the driving test is in the back parking lot of the state police troop barracks. So you don't even go into the public when you're driving. So it's just literally a state trooper sits in your car and that scares the shit out of you enough. And it's kind of like the Brady Bunch where you're in that, you know, I don't know if you've seen the episode where they're in the parking lot and they're doing a contest where they don't have to hit the egg. Whoever hits
the egg loses. Yes, I did.
So anyway, but so then I went and drove my dad's Cadillac, which was like a boat, as soon as I got my license. And I'm surprised I didn't kill anybody. Anyway, living in Los Angeles is scary as hell when you're trying to teach your kid how to drive. I mean, it's freaking like you're just going with it. And fortunately, though, you know, knock on wood, only actually that's a lie. My wife ended up, because I encouraged her, I was away, I think, in my I allow my oldest to drive just on our block to test because we have an extra wide block. So and it's not that trafficky. So I guess when I was away at for work, he convinced her to let him drive the car, but to drive it from her sister's house to our house, which is 18 blocks away, and they're narrow streets. And so I guess when he got too close to our street, he got a little too close to another car and sideswiped it.
Ooh, yeah. Bummer.
Yeah. And I think,
yikes.
I think he was like 14 at the time. So it's he did not even be driving. So anyway, who got blamed for it? Because I let him drive. And I'm like, but I don't let him drive like in the neighborhood on our block. That's it. But, you know, right. If you can find, I did have, there was one old, parking structure here in LA that it was a mall that closed down. And it was perfect for teaching my youngest to drive because it was just empty. And you can go, you know, teach how to go up the ramps and stuff and like into narrow areas, backing out of parking spots and all. Otherwise,
how not to drive over the homeless people that are sleeping in the abandoned garage.
Yeah. That's another story, unfortunately, which is so sad here in LA. But it's one of those scariest things. Cause you're also, you're giving over your child like a death machine, you know, and then trusting that like now my son passed, which we didn't even go in the neighborhood that we live in for the exam because it's known to be the hardest one in like the west side of California. So we went like 45 or 40 minutes away and you know he passed and I was like, how did you pass when I saw the way you just parked the car? Like that should have been fail alone, you know. It's like no.
So let's like kind of for the parents that maybe are on the verge of this. So when do you sit down with either your wife or you like what like when for you when were you like okay, they're at a point now where they need to like take a class or take an online, you know, I mean, I know there's online options now as well that probably weren't available when your kids were learning.
Everything is online for sure. And you know what? Like, I think it's scary as a parent, and this is an important thing. I'm glad that you just brought this up. It's scary as a parent to let your kid drive because you're like, God forbid something happened to them. But I think it's worse to instill the fear in them and encourage them not to drive because they do not want to go into life, although like what you were saying, now cars will probably drive themselves, but still you like to feel like you have a little control. So if you have at least have the confidence to drive a car, you're not going to feel intimidated. But you know, those kids in their 20s that don't drive, you know, they're really handicapped, although there's Uber, but that costs money.
I agree. I think that you should, even if you don't, I mean, I had a car when I was my own car when I was 17 and I had saved up a certain amount of money. And then my parents, you know, my dad asked me one day, he's like, how are you doing on the car fund? And once I got to a certain point, he said, I will match what you have. And so they helped me with that. That was great. But the way it was presented to me was, if you want a car, you're going to have to buy your own car. We're not giving you a car. You can drive. And Chris, when I was learning to drive, I would drive one or two of two cars, my parents' cars. My dad had an Audi, but my mom had a Chrysler LeBaron with a Mary Kay Cosmetics sticker in the back.
No, wait, what color was it?
Because
car?
She was,
what color was it? The car?
White.
Oh, a white car?
It was white.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't pink. Nice. It wasn't pink. Okay. So, but my parents, I would mostly drive that car. And the first few times I'm like, oh my God, I hope no one sees me in this car. And after a while, I'm like, I don't care. It's a car. Right. But that's, as a parent, you need to decide, does your kid get a car right when they're 16?
Right.
Or, you know, do you encourage them to save up money for a car? Or to your point just a couple minutes ago, no, I don't want my kid to drive. until they're older. And that's fine if you don't want them to have a car, but I do think they should know how to drive. I mean, if they're in a situation, you know, God forbid there's an emergency of some sort and they need to get behind the wheel, do you want to add on top of whatever stress may be present in that situation with the stress of, I've never driven a car before, or I don't know, I don't have my license, or and
not to mention that it's going to save you on your Uber bill, because now you don't have to take Uber, because you can have your kid take you to dinner, drop you off, and then come pick you up, and you can have your drinks.
right. Yeah, make them work for it. Make them earn it, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But I get what you're saying, and I do understand.
You know, it's the first step in responsibility as a young adult, for sure, and in instilling all of that, because it's not free. You know, it costs you to get the child put on the insurance, and they should all know this. I think that comes along with the license comes responsibility, and in return, they can, like, you know, contribute to, like, maybe have them go to the store, you know, to do some grocery shopping if you can't, you know, or don't want to or whatever, like, have them realize what a privilege it is to have that license and to be able to drive.
And guys, you can go on and you can Google this. I mean, there's tons of articles and blog entries on this, but some of the things that are suggested is when your child hits 15, they're probably going to start asking questions about driving, depending on what part of the country you live in. And I think that's the perfect time to sit them down and say, okay, well, you know, what are we comfortable with? Like, when do we want our child to start driving? Do we want them to take the driver's exam when they're 15 and a half and get their permit? And do we want them to start contributing to their, you know, if they're 16 and they have a summer job, you know, get them excited. If they're, you know, people appreciate things when they have some skin in the game. When something's free to somebody, they don't care as much. So my, you know, I think that it's good to, like, say, like, hey, if you want to start driving in a year, you need to start putting a little bit of money away from your summer job, or, you know, whatever. You know, your grandparents are sending you money for your birthday, and, you know, do you want to go spend that on pizza with your friends, or do you want to put that away, or some of it away? And over the course of the next year or two, you accumulate enough money to, you know, for a down payment on a car, or to Chris's point a moment ago, the insurance to put towards that. Maybe that's the deal you make with your kid, is they need to pay for that. But the point is talking with your significant other, what the plan is going to be and where you think your child is from a maturity standpoint as well. Because I know personally of kids that are nowhere near ready to drive when they turn 16. Yeah. They're just like, they're not responsible enough. And then there's others that are like, probably could have started driving when they were like 12, because they're super responsible. Right. But so it's, you need to obviously gauge your own child and figure out what that is, and then get after you and your significant other, talk about, okay, like, here's what we're okay with. Then working out with your child and letting them know that this isn't just a given. Age does not mean you start driving. It's the maturity level. And then, you know, if you want it to be a monetary contribution in order for them to be able to start driving, then that's a thing.
You know,
as well.
Brian, you should, Chris, also which, you know, I think we may take for granted as adults, because we're like, duh, they teach this, I think, in like driver's ed or whatever, that you're not supposed to drink and drive. But, you know, now that pot is getting legalized, a lot of kids don't think that that's an issue to smoke and drive. And it's screwed up,
that's,
because, you know, it's the same thing. You're not in the same state. Your reaction is delayed. So don't be an idiot and think that, you know, you don't have to. I shouldn't say don't be an idiot, but as a parent, like, have that conversation, because you're just opening the door for them to be transparent with you. And, you know, just you don't want to be like that parent that's just like, fuck, why didn't I say something? Because God forbid something happens.
That's a great point. And I think that it's not just from the alcohol standpoint, and not solely from the drug or the marijuana standpoint. I think it's good to talk to your kids about the penalties of what could happen. Yeah. And because kids, we all think we're invincible, and we all think like, you know, there's so many people on the road, how are they possibly going to single me out or whatever? And, you know, put some ugly facts, and if you need to go online and show them some ugly photos of
what's that red
of that,
ash,
and also
ash, the or whatever is that movie, what, Asphalt or whatever,
Red asphalt. Yeah. I believe that if you are, to Chris's point, if you're giving them this death machine, essentially, and that's an awful way of putting it, but underscoring the importance of that, and then let's not forget the texting.
Forget that.
What happens with that? Show them some, you know, as messed up as it may be, show them some photos of, I'm not saying of dead bodies thrown across the street, although, you know, maybe, but, you know, of the mangled cars, and tell them the stories, and, or, you know, Google a half dozen articles and make them read them of, you know, the teenager that slid into a family of four and killed the family, and the, you know, the teenager is now in jail for X number of years, and like let them know, like, this is not a license to just start like screwing around. This is, you have a lot of responsibility, and then you have responsibility of the people that are in your car as well, your friends or your family that are in there with you. Like, let them know the severity, the weight of this. And this goes back to the maturity level. If you know your kid, if your kid is a, you know, is just a punk, and you know, you love them, of course, but you're like, I can't trust this kid with anything, let alone a car, then that's maybe, you know, you wait till they turn 18 or 19 before you start pursuing that with them. But there's a lot out there that can go wrong really quickly. And so, Chris, in Phoenix, there's a driving school, and they have a car that you can get in, and they have calibrated it to mimic your reaction time if you were drunk. Wow. Or if you've smoked a certain amount of marijuana. And what it does is, you're out in this, you know, massive opened parking lot, and they have cones set up and everything, but they have you doing the swerving, and the steering wheel doesn't react as quickly, and the brake does, and they tell you like to pull up behind, like, you know, pull up behind this car and tap the brake, and the brake doesn't react as quickly. It takes another moment or two to react. So it's showcasing to the student driver that you may think that you are responding quickly enough, but you're really not.
That should be a requirement for everybody that's going into driving for their license. You know, after having all, you know, said all this and discussed this, I think that it is well worth it, especially if you live in a city-like environment, to have a driving school take your kid out the first few times, because, again, you're putting them into a situation where they can eventually run over somebody, you know, or run into something, you know, and you want to make sure that unless you're in a safe open area that's away from traffic. I know this sounds like duh, but, you know, you never know. It's worth it, especially since these guys can take the kid on the freeway the first time too, which is always the scariest point.
Yeah, and this whole episode is a little bit of a duh, but when Chris was talking about, you know, some of his experiences with his kids, and we just thought, you know, this may be good to talk about. You know, you, the listener guys, you're aware of all the things that can happen, but it's really more just kind of making a bullet pointed list of, okay, my kid's getting pretty close to driving, so I need to get with my wife and figure this out. And then we need to sit down with our kid and let them know, if you want to start driving in a year, here are the things that need to happen. And then just some things that in the year 2021, you need to start thinking about, you know, letting them know kind of the ugly truths and responsibilities. Yeah.
And once you get past all that, it'll be like clear sailing. They'll be running to the store for you. They'll be your Uber driver. Like, life will be
Take advantage of that big time. Yeah.
Before you know it, they'll be listening to, you know, maybe an episode of From Dude to Dad. So, all right. Hopefully this episode gave you some cool information, and we look forward to having you guys check out future episodes of From Dude to Dad.